Welcome to the Memoirs of Her. This is your host, Cindera Mendez, once again on the Memoirs of Her. H standing for humble, E standing for exquisite, and R standing for resilience. Please be advised, this is a podcasting session coming to you with an adventurous and humorous life journey of a mysterious woman, including her account in life. So tonight's topic is going to be about the importance of the family structure in a home. So when I think about family structure, I think about the birth of a new legacy and dynamic that's interchangeable. The family structure in the home is what determines the solidification and continuity of a legacy being built and rebirth from one generation after the other. And the most important principle in a family structure is love, respect, and values. So the most common family structure is the father, mother, child, or children. It's a balance needed in a home for each family member to develop a balance and respect for the person in the home. In this particular structure, this is considered immediate family. So this is not really talking about the expansion of the family as far as grandmother, grandfather, aunts, uncle, cousins. It's just talking about the immediate family in particular. Okay? So, therefore, in my opinion, the role of a father serves as the authority and leader. The mother serves as the nurturing and disciplinary parent. And the child or children role is to learn and to develop as a person at each stage of their life, which is why I mentioned earlier it's balance needed in a home for each family member to develop a balance and respect for the person in a home. So, of course, as a parent in developing our children, we must ensure we teach them love, respect, and values, as I mentioned before, within the home. And our children must learn how to internalize those values and become a person with high values and moral judgment when outside the facility of the home, without the parents being present. So there's a saying that a wife is a reflection of her husband, while the child or children is a reflection of the mother's strength. So tonight I will discuss the topic on the importance of the family structure in a home to give insight and perspective on the value of developing and having a family of your own. Well, in particular, immediate family. Okay, so I wanted to start off by mentioning the strength in having a family in a home. And what that looks like is unconditional love and support. Now, when I talk about unconditional love, it consists of, you know, both parents' love not changing for their child, whether they are good or bad or whatever the case might be in between. You know, just having that unconditional love as mother, father, woman, man, and just that child dynamic and structure, right? So having that unconditional love in a home, meaning, you know, it's not based off of favoritism, it's not based off of, it's not based off of, you know, conditions such as, oh, if my child could do this or be a superstar, then I'll love them more. You know, those are parameters around love, and a parent's love should never have no limits or parameters around the amount of love they would give to a child, especially in development and you know, growing as a, you know, child into, you know, different stages of life, such as adolescent or being a toddler, adolescent to being a young adult and adult, you know. So even the relationship to the child should change in each stage as far as what you would teach them and develop them as, you know, children. So as I say, in particular, that unconditional love should always be there, and a father and a mother, you know, because that child, that children come from you. And when it comes down to the support factor, yeah, you may have some parameters around the support that you may give to your children. And sometimes it may differentiate on what you would like to do to be supportive of your children and some of the things that you will want to do, but you're not able to do as a parent to be supportive. So the only thing that you really have in that underlining thing that you have is love, unconditional love that you can give them that will pull your children through. And it doesn't matter if you are in a single parent home or if you have a whole family. You know, once you are clear on that love, that respect, that value, that's what the child needs, you know, along with the balance come with that as well. But this is why, in particular, we have extended family, meaning we have the grandmother, the grandfather, and, you know, the aunts, the uncles, the cousins, to maybe compensate for the absence of one of the parents being present in the home. So basically what I'm saying is, if you are a single parent and you may be raising your children or whatever the case might be, you know, as a replacement, having that grandfather, that grandmother present in your child's life will be that, you know, that bridge to that gap that you have as a single parent. And then for those who are in a whole family home where there's the father, the mother, and the child or children, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that love should be, you know, spoken of. It should be nurtured. It should be understood when it comes down to the unconditional love factor. And everyone knows that love is an action word. It's not just words coming out from your mouth saying I love you, but then your actions showing something different. Unconditional love is implemented through one's words and actions behind, you know, what they feel and how they feel for their child, their children, or just, you know, the mother to the father, father to the mother, things of that sort. Okay? So maybe at times the love that you may have for the mother, father, father to mother, whatever the case might be, sometimes that can be conditional and it just become a situation where I love this person because they are the mother of my children, or I love this person because they are the father of my children. But it doesn't go no more than that. So it's more of a conditional aspect of love, which is no problem. But what I'm trying to emphasize here is that for your children, the love should be healthy and the love should be unconditional. Okay? Now, some people may show their children tough love, especially if, you know, they are in their teenage years and, you know, they're being a little bit ruthless and a little bit, you know, on the rebellious and disrespectful side. Sometimes giving that tough love in a certain dynamic and degree is still implementing unconditional love, but in a more tough aspect. Okay, but it's almost like giving an indirect message to your child to get them to straighten up, you know. So this is why where the whole tough love dynamic come from. You know, sometimes parents might give their children enough rope to hang themselves for them to learn and experience, you know. So yeah, so that's what I mean as far as that being a strength in a family and in a home, unconditional love and support. Another factor would be the protectivity and the families as well, as far as, you know, when there's a father, mother, child, or children, everyone should be contributing as a team. Such as, for example, let's say if you have toddlers from at least 3 to like 6 years old, you might want to have like a chore chart for the child. Like every time when they do something that's, you know, great as far as like dressing themselves in the morning, or doing something like for a toddler, like 3 years old, like if they doing something like eating right, or they did said something correctly, or whatever the case might be, that you give them like a star or a pointer or a happy face to let them know that, okay, what they are doing is good. This is called operant conditioning. But as far as when you teaching a child good behavior and good mannerism, okay? And then let's say for more or less for the children that's like 8 and up, you might want to give them allowance based off of the chores that they do and what's more feasible for their age, you know. And in doing that, that teaches them responsibility, that teaches them to evaluate their behavior and what gets good responses as far as what they will achieve and what they will do and what they won't do as children. So even when it comes down to the adult factor, when it being the father and the mother, you know, giving each other simple compliments, you know, being complimentary towards each other is a good aspect as far as a confidence booster, or just, you know, giving that validation as far as a parent, you know, those things are encouraging, and it's good when every aspect of the family are contributing to something, such as chores, or they doing something in the home to where it's going to be productive, and it emphasizes on each person being a team player. Okay, so another factor would be education or trade development is another aspect that is a strength in the family and in the home. So what I mean by education, as far as the father, let's say the father, you know, is big on education and is well-rounded, good career, and whatever the case might be. And, you know, even if he's not around along the lines of a degree or whatever the case might be, but just being educational and knowledgeable or intellectual still falls under this category of education. So you may not have the degree to follow behind it, but based off of what you know and what you've experienced, it is a form of education, because you'll be able to take your experiences as a father, as a mother as well, and be able to teach your children, educate them on certain things, you know, educate them on what's false and what's not false, you know, what's true and things of that sort. So education could be something big in a home, whereas the parents may not have achieved all that they may have wanted to, but being able to encourage your children to be able to get their education, go to school, and be able to get their high school diploma, go to college and get a career, you know, and try to get in something to where they can have something of a small business or something like that. That's another thing we should teach our children, is how to develop a small business for themselves, so that way they can have some type of blanket of security if they do not come from a wealthy family or whatever the case might be, or high class or whatever the case might be. You know, just having that mentality, and not just the mentality to just go to school, get a career and work for somebody and make somebody else rich, but be able to have something of their own so that they could be proud of, that they develop on their own, is a good aspect in implementation that we should push in our children in this day and time. Okay, because their mindset and, you know, modern day society is way different from how it was in past tense, where you had a lot of people just getting a job, staying on a job for 40 years and then retiring and then getting a pension and things of that sort. Things are starting to change gradually, you know, and take a turn. Like, money is a tool, yes, but people are starting to realize that, you know, a lot of things could be done on their own. And, you know, develop even when they establish a business, or they be able to capitalize on a skill or trade that they have, which I'm going to mention as well, too. Because we can also teach our children, if, let's say, for example, they don't want to go to college, but they want to learn a trade, you know, something that's going to help them to put all 100% of their energy into their business by learning a trade and being able to invest in that trade, and then be able to they be able to follow their steps and plans and what they choose to do, and then take action when it's time for them to move to the next level and start their business. You know, so learning a trade should also be something that we implement in our children, because what, based off of what they can do and what they know, can get them very far, along with their attitude being of high honor and maturity, can get them very far in life just with learning a trade alone. So yes, a degree can get you further as far as, you know, opening doors for you and opportunities based off of who you know, but at the end of the day, that trade is nothing more comparable than knowing something, because in both aspects, no one can take a degree away from you. And no one can take that trade of what you've learned away from you as well. Okay? So that is a strength within a family home. Now, moving along to financial security and financial stability. Okay, we all know from traditional aspect that men, the father, is usually the breadwinner, the one who brings home the bacon, meaning the money. The tool, you know, and the mother is usually the economic force within the home, where she manages everything and usually, you know, take care of the children, the home, clean the home and things of that sort, you know, where she's delegating. There's a delegation of power, even equality, as far as what the father do to go out to get the money, and as far as what the mother do to maintain the rules and regulations within the home, and then the economic flow as far as in being able to provide or maintain that security and stability within the home. So one factor that will be that some that the father may, you know, take charge of or may not take charge of is a budget. And sometimes he may come up with a budget plan on where the finances should go or how the finances should be, and then have the mother, you know, his wife or his woman, be able to manage that budget accordingly. Now, of course, a father or a husband will give his wife a set amount of money for her to have and to be able to take care of the home. And he expects her to not only just pay the bills, but to also be able to bring in the groceries, be able to, you know, clean the home and things of that sort, because that is a whole economic in itself. So stay at home moms is like I always say, no one should look down on a stay at home mom, because, you know, even in retrospect of her just being able, you know, dedicating her life to her husband and her children is a beautiful thing in itself. It's very honorable, okay? And some people in this day and time, in modern times, even though it's traditional for a man to do that, you know, in modern times, we have men, both men and women, going out being a breadwinner and coming back and consolidating, or just, you know, bringing together their both of their incomes and working with that in particular, and still managing and maintaining the home. Whereas, you know, it's not just a role stuck on just the mother. Oh, you're supposed to cook, clean, and do this thing, or you're supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that. In this day and time, you have some men contributing to cooking and cleaning and doing certain things, as well as doing right by each other and maintaining good and healthy relationships with their wife or woman and children. So those things are, in modern terms, are happening because the days, the time and day is changing. Our era is changing, you know, so it's like you have to literally work as a team player in this day and time, because back in the day, yes, the traditional role can work. It will work, or perhaps whatever the case might be. But in retrospect of that, as they always say, whenever you work and you go out to work or you do something or you got a career, you're always supposed to pay yourself. So just in that and all in actuality, a father who's maintaining his home, you know, and his children should always be able to pay himself, because that's part of being able to take care of yourself. Any man that just say, oh, okay, you know what, I'm giving all my wife and this, that, the check, you causing yourself to be stressed. You causing yourself to want to, you know, look for something better, you know, find that itch, look for something better, because you're not doing right by yourself. And when you don't do right by yourself, you cause yourself to be in a weak state of mind and want things that are going according to your flesh, your lustful nature. When you, in retrospect, do not do right by yourself, doing right by yourself as a man, as a father, is taking care of yourself, making enough money to not just working harder or being a workaholic, but being able to work smarter and being able to allow money to work for you and you not always work for the money. Okay, and making enough money for you to have for yourself to take care of yourself as far as grooming, clothing, you know, being able to, you know, cook and clean for yourself as a man. You should know these things for yourself in particular, because when you don't have a woman and a woman is not present, you should be able to do these things whether you had a woman or wife or children before them. You should be able to do these things and after them, same way how you got some women that are learning how to go out to be breadwinners and learning how to maintain finances and have businesses and have a, you know, car insurance and things of that sort, and they really holding shit down. They really holding shit down, and it's not to, you know, shun the men or their role or their position. It's more or less to be able to contribute and do for themselves. So basically what I'm saying to fathers, you have to be able to pay yourself, okay? And this is why you have to be mindful of where are you giving your offsprings to, or what type of women are you having as, you know, mother of your children and things of that sort, and do you have a good relationship with them and things of that sort? Not just a good sex relationship, but a good mental flow with the woman that you're having children with. Because not only that, if you cannot relate or get along with the woman and you have to end up paying child support, I'm not saying that it's wrong, but at the end of the day, it's almost as putting yourself in a self-sabotaging situation, to whereas, you know what, it's like, damn if you do, damn if you don't, and you put yourself in a position where you're not even able to take care of yourself if you're not a breadwinner where you're making more than enough money to be able to pay child support and not really care for anything extra as far as leaving the responsibility to a mother to raise the children or whatever the case might be, even though that's still causing an imbalance with your offsprings, because at the end of the day, you're not present. You're not there in that home or that household. So you have to be very mindful of what you're doing and how you're doing it, because some things could be, you know, misconstrued. So all I'm saying is, at the end of the day, when it comes down to financial security and stability, you want to be able to have money for yourself and have that money to where you are taking care of yourself as far as grooming, buying clothes for yourself. Because when you take care of yourself, you take care of your wife, you take care of your children. Even if your woman have to, even if at the end of the day, you make your check or whatever the case might be, you take out your part, and you could, like, I would say at least 20%, and you give 80% to the wife or woman that you are with in the home. So that way you can just have for yourself, not just for you to eat and survive or whatever the case might be, your creature comfort, something to where you know, okay, I have enough money if I want to go and get me, or I need to get me some boots or something like that, I can afford to get that. I even have an emergency fund for myself. You know, those things are important. So I feel like if men had that type of mindset in, you know, their traditional life and before, and not just thinking with their lower head or extremity, you know, things would be a lot different. Because I understand that most married men back in the traditional times, I would say, meaning the 1960s, 1970s, 1980s, or whatever, because towards the 1980s, you know, there may have been some type of separation of the family unit in the home, especially amongst African Americans. But I would say more or less 1950s, 1960s, 1970s. In that day and time, I feel like if men, you know, weren't so much under pressure or under that racial stigma, you know, specifically for African American men, you know, and had a different mindset other than just, you know, feeling challenged to be able to take care of a family and home or whatever. And when you are doing that, you feel that you're justified as far as, you know, catering to your lustful nature, whether it be alcohol or having another woman other than your wife and things of that sort, and vice versa in this day and time. But if you had a mindset to where you took care of yourself in a healthy aspect, in a healthy way, then in this aspect or retrospect of things, then maybe, you know, in my opinion, it wouldn't go so left. Okay, so I'll just say in this day and time, people don't really value marriage as much. You know, you got people who making vows to each other, but turning around cheating on each other, which makes no sense, and getting married in the first place. You might as well have been in a situationship, or you might as well have just been single if you're going to go out and cheat and do you. Just because you in a career, you're making a certain type of money, whether you are a man or a woman, and you're maintaining a home, a home with children in it, it doesn't mean that you disvalue the marriage or dishonor it. I mean, it's one thing to be in agreement if you guys choose to be swingers. That's something that you guys chose to do. But at the end of the day, it's still dishonorable to the marriage and the vows that you made as a wife and husband, okay? And that's just my opinion, and I don't mean to go off tangents. This just has a lot to do how a man relate to a woman and a woman relate to a man, and just being a father and a mother raising children, okay? So teaching healthy independence to our children, how to be independent, especially for, you know, the ages of 5, let's say 5 to 8, or whatever the case might be, when we allow them to choose their clothes and, you know, what to wear and things of that sort, we may not agree with it as parents, but we teaching them how to come up with their own style and be creative. Sometimes as parents, let's say if we giving our children, I'll say about 3 to 5, not just 5 to 8. But if we giving them a choice, we should give them three, like say like we, if it has something to do with their clothes, you pick out 3 clothes. You tell them they can choose which one out of those that they want to wear. And that's how you raise and teach them, so they can have something of their own and not just picking random things that just don't go together. But when you give them 3 options that you choose as a parent for them to choose out of what they would want to wear, then that's perfect. And sometimes, I'm not saying, in most cases, some of us may not be able to afford that kind of level, whatever the case might be, depending on what family dynamic you come from. But you can allow, even if it's with something as far as like with objects or with food or something like that, giving them a choice, giving them an option, makes them feel validated, makes them feel acknowledged when you do those things, and will cause them to develop a healthy independence and not a rebellious nature. When you go from 8 and up to teenagers, when you allow them a curfew and you tell them that they need to be home at 8 based off of their age, or 9 or 10 o'clock, that is something that they have to respect accordingly. And that is something that you administering to them. Oh, I had a little tongue twister. But you are teaching them independence and how to be responsible when you give them a curfew as well. So it's one thing to have a sense of individuality and independence, but it's another when you teach your children interdependent skills on how to work together as a team. So when you implement, you know, things in a home, like as far as chores being done and you delegate it amongst each other, that's interdependent skills, because when everyone is doing their part, the father is doing his part, the mother's doing her part, and the children are doing their part as far as going to school, doing their chores, blase, blase. When they're doing it, it all works out to where everyone is being productive, and it's showing interdependence amongst each other based off of their roles. Okay? And now, another factor, last but not least, having a moral legacy as far as the family name. So moral legacy to a family name could be, you know, the father last name is, you know, Johnson, or Mr. Brown or something like that, you know, leaving a positive legacy, and based off of what he's doing within his home and how he maintained his home, you know, will show how it will show evidently of how he deal with the community. Okay, so how he deal with the community will show how long and how more of a legacy he will have and leave behind, you know, generations after generation, based off of his name in particular. That Johnson, for example, or that Mr. Brown, or the Brown family, or the Johnson family, or Team Johnson, or Team Brown, however way you want to put it, is still a value, especially with people known you to either contribute to your community, they known you to be a counselor, known you to be an intellectual individual, known you to be somebody who stood up for the people and things of that sort. That is honorable and that is unforgettable, because one thing you must understand is that people will forget what you say, but they will never forget how you made them feel, which comes from the famous Maya Angelou. I may not say the quote from Batum, but that's where that quote originate from. Okay, so based off of what you do as a father, based off of what you do as a man and what you stand up for, and you are a stand-up man and you go off of morals, will show how long of a legacy that you will have, and how like years and years after you dead and God forbid dead and gone, or you passed on into other dimensions, your name will still ring bells. It still will be present, such as, for example, Martin Luther King. Okay, a lot of us may not all agree with him, but his name still rang precedence in this day and time, and for what he stood for, even if it was misunderstood in any kind of way or out of context. Another factor would be from the Muslim community, as far as Muhammad. I forget his name. I don't want to, the Honorable Muhammad, you know, his name still rang bells, even if people didn't agree with him, and it's because of what he'd done while he was here, you understand? So, this is what brings strength to a family and a home. So, now I'm going to move along to the importance of a father figure in the home, and I'm going to talk about the importance of a mother figure in the home, and the importance, lastly, of having a child or children in the home. So with that being said, let's enjoy the flow and ambiance of the music. Alright, so I am back, and I am back to talk about the importance of a father figure in the home. I talked about the number of strengths in having a family in the home. Now I'm going to just concentrate on the roles, okay? Now, for those single parent homes, I say more power to you guys, you know, because I understand that you guys are doing your best. And you're raising your children, and you know, you may not have that balance of having a mother or having a father in the home, but just being able to be you, just being able to be the mother, being able to teach your children that although we don't have this aspect or although we don't have this component in a family dynamic, it doesn't change the way the love, the value, the respect will flow within the home. Because you got most parents, single parents that's out there, their children turn out being good. They turn out being able to either becoming somebody in life, you know. So the whole notion of, oh, you need to have the family unit in a home where the father is present, it's not always factual as far as a child being successful based off of that dynamic. I'm saying that single parents could be doing their best, holding down two or more jobs to take care of their children, you know, to provide a better life and living for their children, or just implementing that love, that respect and values within that family dynamic is strong enough to keep that children going. Now, I understand that some children at certain age may compare themselves to the children that do have their father and mother or whatever and may feel some type of way. But at the end of the day, when that love is enforced, when that value and those the respect is enforced in the home, it kind of neutralizes everything and let them know, okay, even though you missed out on this, at the end of the day, that doesn't change your value or who and what you're going to be of a person, you know. But I would say in retrospect of things that it is important. It is important just as much as we may have those values in the home. It's important to have the father, the mother, and then the child there. It is. So I'm not trying to contradict myself, but I'm saying this in retrospect that if you are a man and you have children, it is your responsibility to take care of those children and not expect, oh, the mother to be able to raise and rear the children. Because at the end of the day, that is your offspring. That is your child. So it's like, why not raise that child? Why not be there? Or why not extend or share your love to that child, even if you can't be present, you know? And even for the men, the fathers that do go out and work hard or whatever the case might be, you know, it's one thing to be a workaholic when you're always working and you don't have time to spend with your children. That's not as good. So it's like you might as well better off just being absent of a parent. If you can't really spend quality time with your children and designate a time out of your time to spend with your children, those things are important. It's important. So yes, it's good to be a breadwinner, and it's just as challenging for a mother when she has to dedicate her life to the father or her husband and her children, and having to balance out those things is challenging, just as much as it's challenging as a father to actually be there and a part of your children or child life while you're being a breadwinner, while you're protecting your family and things of that sort. It may be challenging, but something as simple as a hug or I love you, my child, or validating them, those things are important as a father, okay? So what I'm saying is that don't dishonor your role, okay? Don't dishonor your role as in feeling like you're useless of a father or a mother because you're not living up to people's expectation or whatever the case might be. You know, you have the blueprint already inside of what and how you're going to raise your children. Okay, it's already there. It's already there. You have to be confident in knowing that, okay, I can raise my child. I can do this. Even if I'm not even present or there physically or being able to provide them with certain things, I can provide them with wisdom. I can provide them with the richness of, you know, my love extended to them. Those things are so imperative, so important. Okay, so when it comes down to the importance of a father figure in the home, it is important because that man is the authority figure. He's the man that enforces the rules in the home. he enforces it. So, for example, when a child is being a little bit rebellious or being disagreeable with the mother, he's there to tell that child to stop. Don't be disrespectful and stop them in their track and rough them up a little bit and tell them to stop and listen to their mother. That's what the father is there, because he's there as an authority figure to make sure that things are running smoothly. Like a CEO, he makes sure that his company is running smoothly. Even when, God forbid, he's dead and gone, he knows that it's going to operate well. Why? Because he got the right the head board members, the board members on his team, and he had the right leader to run his business. So it's the same dynamic or similar dynamic in the home. When you enforce the children to listen, you need to listen to your mom. Don't be disrespectful. Don't do certain things. That child will listen. You know, you got some parents that will rear the child, meaning they will rough them up a little bit for them to listen based off of them, you know, based on off of the dynamic of the child, whether they listen or not, because we got some children that are just simply hard-headed and they don't listen. And sometimes they may need a little rearing, whether it be from the father or the mother in particular. They need that type of scolding to keep them in check and to keep them in alignment with how things are running within the home. Okay? So, not only is the father figure just an authority figure, but when it comes down to being an authority figure, that doesn't mean that you abuse your power, you abuse, you know, your presence in the home or things of that sort. You do it in a way where you know that it's going to bring peace, because that's what you want. So if you want peace, you want to be able to make sure that you're bringing that peace and respect within the home, as well as a father, as a husband, as a man, or whatever, if you are in a relationship or whatever the case might be, union, whatever. You want to make sure you're bringing that to the table and having that flow within the home. Okay, another important factor when it comes down to a father figure, he lead by example and not by unworthy words. Meaning, the father is not just about all talk, he's about all action as well. And he lead by example. So if he's teaching his children to not do something or to do something, his actions is going to show accordingly to let them know the result and outcome of doing what's right, doing the right thing, and not being contradicting to what you're teaching your children, because then that the value and the respect as a father will go down if you're not leading by example. Okay, it's one thing that you make a mistake as a father and you explain that to your children, but when it's perpetual and you're just doing it constantly, then it's a defect to your character as a man. And not just as a father and the quality of being a father, but just in, you know, you being and indulging in self-sabotaging, you know, ways or experiences. Sometimes you got to do a self-check as a man or as a father as well. Okay? And understand that children, sometimes our children act out because it's something that is bothering them. It's something that they want to talk about, or is something that they want or they're yearning for that they being neglected. And sometimes when the father don't pay attention to those things, it may lead into other things or lead into assumptions from the children when they're not taught from early on, you know, how to conduct and live their lives and how to be respectful of their parents and older adults and things of that sort. They go off misconstruing things because they just think that, oh, A's go with B and B go with C. And that's not really how things just work in that aspect of how they mindset work, because it's still in an infantile state. Okay? So, another factor I would say that makes a father role important is him being a protector and a provider for his family. And sometimes, you know, it may not always be physically and financially, but a man could protect and provide for his family through wisdom, his education, what he knows, his intellectual aspect of himself, his intellectual skills, and his experience. Those things still integrate into him being a protector and a provider. Okay? And then another factor that's important is when a father is a legacy developer, meaning he say to himself, you know what, I want to leave this behind for my children. I want to be able to be known for XYZ. I want to be known for loving my wife. I want to be known for loving my wives, depending on what your religion is. Or I want to be known for, you know, being the best so-and-so in the world, you know, fill in the blanks, you know. But when you have that aspect of what you want to be known for and how you want to implement your family dynamic and how you want to deal with, interact with society and the community at a whole, those things are important, and it shows that you are a legacy developer, especially if it's beneficial for everyone and not just your family unit, but it's, you know, you're showing a, you know, interest in, you know, the community and the, you know, society at stake and as a whole. Okay, so those things are important as far as like being a legacy developer and knowing how and where you want to go in life and, you know, building your family unit as well. Now, a father is also a disciplinary conductor where he's disciplined himself, you know, because discipline starts with the father and then it trickles all down, okay, as far as what he stands for and what he will not stand for, what he follows through every morning as something that's going to be productive for him being, you know, a better man or a better father. Those things are important. And then being able to teach your children, not just physically rearing them, but sometimes we need to give them that verbal scolding for them to straighten up and to let them know when someone is being serious or when the parent is being serious and when they're not playing. Okay, that type of tone and deflection in our voice as parents should be, you know, noticeable and understood by our children when we are disciplining them. And a lot of times through a father figure that is implemented is a certain type of tone and deflection that the father makes or project that makes a child just get in alignment, you know, and just and just straighten up. You know, so there's a certain type of like of action that you get from a child when a father is disciplining his child or his children. Okay. And especially even if you are raising stepchildren, you know, it's a certain type of tone and deflection that you will use, even if they're not of your offspring, to let them know that, listen, hey, you're not doing the right thing. And you showing them and you letting that stepchild or stepchildren know that you still care and love them, but in a different dynamic to let them know that, okay, you care. Okay, you care about what they're doing and you care because you are the head, you are the leader of the home as far as being the father figure. Okay. And then another thing is that the importance of a father figure is being affirmative and a validator figure. Okay, that is so important in a home. When a father is able to affirm certain things with his wife, his woman, or with his children, or validate certain things within the home, within his woman, within his wife, or his children, believe you me. When the fathers give that certain type of affirmative word or action or something like that, it's like breathing life into your wife, your woman, or your children. Because if you say that they can do it, I believe you can do it, son. I believe you can do it, daughter. Or I think you're the most beautiful person, wife or woman or whatever the case might be. When you say those things and get that back in return, trust me, it makes a person feel superhuman, or a mother or children feel superhuman when a father affirms or give a certain type of validation to his family to make them know that we are strong, we are regal. And giving them that courage to move forward, especially if they saying that they smart and intelligent, if it's coming from the father figure and he's telling that and validating that in his children, his son, his daughter, or, you know, his wife or his woman, it makes them feel good. And you get that flow back in return. Okay. But it's very important, the affirmative and validating aspect of a father. And then having a degree of compassion as a father is also important, because just being an authoritative figure may be your way or the highway, but when you are compassionate towards your children or your wife, you'll be able to learn certain things about them and get a different perspective when you're compassionate, okay? Not compassionate in the way where you're soft, but compassionate in the way where you're listening, not just with your ears, but with your heart and your mind. That's what compassion is all about when you implement that in your family dynamic, okay? So now that I talked about the importance of a father figure in the home, I'm going to talk about the importance of a mother figure in the home. Right, so the importance of a mother figure in the home is her ability to nurture not only her husband but her children, and to nurture herself. So it's the same dynamic: women, mothers, sisters, grandmothers, but in particular I'm talking to mothers. It's very important, the same way how I talked about a father going out being a provider, being a breadwinner. It's the same way how, as a woman and a wife, don't let yourself go. Don't let yourself go. Always make sure you have an invested interest in beauty. Always make sure you have an invested interest in, you know, keeping your body healthy, fit. You may not be the certain size that you will desire to be, but when you do certain things such as going on a simple walk or jumping rope or just going on a machine and just doing a little exercise here and there, just for yourself and for mental health reasons, is so important as a mother, you know. And, you know, being able to have time to take care of yourself, me time, is important as well. So the same way how the father go out being a breadwinner as the nurturer, you have to be the leader of nurturing and nurturing yourself as a woman and as a mother, so that way you can be able to implement those nurturing qualities to your husband, to your man, and to your children. Okay, it's just the same way with love. If you don't have love, how do you expect for somebody else to love you if you don't have self-love? How do you expect to love your children properly if you do not have self-love? So those things come with nurturing. And nurturing looks more like intellectual as well, having a certain type of investment in yourself as well. You know, it's intellectual, it's emotional, it's spiritual, and it's a physical aspect when it comes down to nurturing your husband, your children, and yourself, okay? There is a cycle that you have to be able to fulfill, and it's a part of your mental health and emotional health, and being able to have emotional intelligence, and then being able to know your limits as a mother and as a wife and as a woman, or whatever the case might be. You know, this is nurturing. Going to a spa, for example, and being able to just relax on your me time, reading a book, something where you are designating quality time to yourself, is so important. Okay, another important factor of a mother figure is she's always supportive. Supportive of her husband, supportive of her children, and very resourceful on how she will be able to get information, how she will get things going and flowing, or make a plan work, you know, especially mothers who are into planners, you know, you know, having a little agenda, things like that. That is a form of support when you are able to plan your day and have a routine and things of that sort. That is very supportive. It's healthy for you. It's healthy for your husband or your man. And it's healthy for your children. And especially when you're able to have for yourself. Okay. Now, a woman who's more traditional, you know, who doesn't mind being that woman to take care of her husband, her home, her children, and doesn't mind not working and just totally relying on the husband, I say kudos to you. But a lot of times you learn different things over time as far as being a good cook, being able to take care of your children, what type of medicines that they need, and, you know, how to make a dollar, how to make money, you know, especially when the man is in turn empowering you and the man is not putting you down because he's the sole breadwinner. But when the man, the father, the right man that's in your life, he will empower you to want to invest in your own business. He will empower you by his words and how he implement and say good things about you to make you feel confident about yourself and not to feel insecure. So an insecure man who makes his woman or his wife or the mother of his children feel insecure is weak-minded. That means he doesn't really think much of himself. And as a result of being negative, that's him deflecting and projecting on you, and you need a reality check. But 9 times out of 10, when you have the right man in your life, he will implement those good qualities. He will implement and enforce good things into you and encourage you to continuously maintain the home. He will love you, love your children, love just how you just being you, you know, being original, being someone who relies on him, love and respect him as a man. Okay, as the father of your children, your husband, those things make a man feel livid. Okay, it makes him feel livid. It makes him feel like, hurrah, I am doing my thing. Okay, but normally the women that bear the children, take care of the home, and don't mind, you know, don't think for a second that, oh, it's beneath her to, you know, just do those, you know, aspect, take care of the home, but just do it fluidly. It's like the backbone of the family. You know, when your husband look to you for counsel, which I'm going to talk about later, when he respects you enough to not make a decision without you, you know, unless y'all have a talk, or he's the type of man that don't go to bed angry. Y'all don't go to bed angry and y'all talk it out. Or sometimes he just give you time to just blow off the steam or whatever you're going through and give it a couple of days and then come back based off of, you know, what's taking place. But 9 times out of 10. A man will not go to bed, you know, feeling discord with his woman or his wife, because he know that kind of lingering energy can linger in a family. And it's like if you got an unhappy wife, you got an unhappy life. And you know how the saying go. So it's like usually a 9 times out of 10, that husband will make sure he get it right. He will get it right the first time. So I'm just saying, those men that do have a heart, that do have a conscience, and those older men of quality, or men in this generation who are concerned with those things and want to do the right thing, you know, it's already in you to want to do the right thing and be good. But I am telling you, these types of women are the backbone of the family, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. And like I said, a mother serves as a counselor. She's able to counsel her husband, able to counsel her children, and a good one hell of a nurturer when it comes down to her love, implementing her love to her family, you know? So those things are so important, especially when the mother is not in a predicament of being controlling, not manipulative, because these are all toxic qualities. You know, when she's not controlling, when she's not manipulative, and when she is not, you know, jealous or have any kind of underlining issue, she's a good counselor and can give good counsel because of her soulful nature. I wanted to say spirituality, but her spiritual nature with the Most High and how she acknowledges that there is a Most High and her just being one, you know, and knowing her role as a woman and feeling good, you know, in her womanhood and motherhood and things of that sort. Okay, another factor when it comes down to a mother figure in the home, she's a wonderful teacher. She's a wonderful teacher because I'm sure she experienced a lot, seen a lot, and understands, you know, intuitively certain things that goes on in the home, okay, or which is her family dynamic in particular, okay? And then I also say that the woman is a disciplinary figure. The father is a disciplinary conductor where he regulates whatever's going on in the home, but the mother is a disciplinary figure where she set the tone and flow within the home, okay? If she say not to do certain things, that child should not do certain things. If she say go to bed at a certain time, that child should be able to go to bed at a certain time. If that mother tells that child when she see another adult, say good morning, say good afternoon, or say good night, that is teaching the children mannerism and to teaching them to be respectful, okay? That's a part of value. And this is what it mean. This is what I mean as far as the mother being a disciplinary figure, as far as making sure that whatever the father enforced in the home is being respected and is being followed within the home in particular. Another factor when it comes down to mothers in the home is that they are visionary source. Women are so like, I don't mean to be like so big-headed about women and just mothers in particular, but to be a woman myself and to know and understand how phenomenal we are as far as bearing children is amazing to me. Like, of course, we have to honor, you know, our husband. We have to honor the father figure because without him, how could we be able to create? So it's like the man will provide and we will multiply for that man when we have the right man. So I say it's phenomenal because we can hold a whole nother life in our being for 9 months and then be able to push that baby out. It's so amazing to me. So it's like I have a undying love for mothers, for children, you know, and just, you know, the ability of what a woman have to go through, you know, her capabilities and things. And, you know, also when she's not toxic, but when she's of good quality, you know, have her head on right and, you know, fit to be in a marriage or a union or a relationship and to bear children when she's in the right state of mind. You know, it's amazing what women can do just as much as amazement as far as the men's strength. Men may be physically strong and mentally strong, but when it comes down to women, you know, when they are, you know, in control of their emotions and in control of just their whole aura, their whole being, they are also phenomenal as well, emotionally, and I would say more or less intellectually as well, okay? When it comes down to certain aspects of things, okay? So when it comes down to them being visionaries, you know, if they feel that that man could do something or if they feel that they can do something and it's beneficial to the whole family, believe you me, that vision that that woman has is valuable, okay? When she's able to tell her child, oh, she having a talk with her child and her child say, I want to be the next astronaut. Her saying, you know, yeah, you're going to be the next astronaut. I can see you flying in the sky and I can see you doing those things. When you talk like that to your children, they really think they could do it. So being a visionary and implementing that as a mother, it also has some type of influence on children as well. And that security, it brings the security. The father brings the stability effect of it, and the woman brings that security
to the children in that home as well. So even when the father is being compassionate, he's bringing that stability while the mother is bringing the sense of security in that home. Okay, and then when it comes down to being a mother figure, especially if she's traditional, she's highly resourceful. Even if you are a working mom and you're going out and you have a career, you're still resourceful because you got to find out who's going to watch your children, whether you have a nanny or a babysitter, or you got to figure out who's going to be my baby's pediatrician. Life insurance, health insurance. You got to think about all of these things to be resourceful as a mother and to be able to take care of your household, you know, your husband, your children, and things of that sort, and keeping information in one locked space. Like, all your documents and everything should be locked in one place and not all over the place under your bed. You know, you want to have it secure in a secure place, have like a nice binder or something where you're putting all of your information, important information of all of your family, household, in a binder, and being able to go accordingly from there as far as the categories. That's what a woman do, because a stay-at-home mom, or whether you are a working mom or whatever the case might be, and you have a family household, what I would say is that at the end of the day, when you have this type of information on deck, you are putting yourself in an economical position to maintain and run the flow of your home when you are resourceful as a mother and being able to take care of your children and be able to share the information with other mothers or just a community at large, a community of women or just people in general. When the more you know as a mother, whether it's good, beneficial for your children, your husband, the father of your children, or just a community at whole, it's important. So this is what's the role of a mother figure in a home. And I want to talk about the importance of having children or having a child in the home. Now, the whole purpose of having a child or children in the home is like they brighten up the home. They bring that warmth. They bring that energetic energy that makes you laugh. And the nuance of how they say and do things, you learn from them as parents. We're never too old and we're never too young to learn from each other. But to have these little beings around us, it brings a sense of warmth and energy. And it makes you feel proud as parents that these children are yours, you know. And to see how bright and beautiful they are makes you happy as a father or makes you happy as a mother, okay? So the role of a child or children is to be learners and to be observers, okay? To learn certain things from a parent, to learn certain things from a teacher, to learn certain things from their family dynamic, or when they go outside and they observe certain things, they are learning every day and picking up things from us. So we have to be very careful on what we are projecting and what we are presenting to our children, because they are absorbers, especially from 0 to 7. Their minds are like sponge and they absorb in so much. And you, as parents, we have to be careful on what they are ingesting, whether it be through their sight, whether it be through what they eat or what they're hearing. These things are so important, and this is why as a mother and a father, we have to protect our children. Okay, they are our future legacy. They are going to be the ones who will set the tone and set the pace to continue the generation of what you teach, the values that you teach, the love and the values that you teach in your family dynamic, is they're gonna be able to carry that on from generations to generations, okay? And children also serve as love and inspiration to us as parents, And as I said before, through their warmth and energetic energy, you know, you learn so much through just how a child operates and how they think and how they just get along with their peers in particular. Okay. And then last thing but not least, you know, I wanted to talk about sometimes our children can be like angelic and pure in nature, meaning sometimes our children from the ages 2 to 6 can have spiritual insight and foresight. So, for example, if your child or children are able to pick up something that's more of a sixth sense and they telling you, let's say, for example, they seen somebody or whatever the case might be, is not meant for you as a parent to be fearful and scared and saying that, oh, is my child making this up or whatever the case might be. But if your child is adamant and you know when your child is like, okay, you know what, my child is not playing or faking around, and I know, and you will have that instinct as a mother or a father, especially when they able to say, or, you know, when they get of that age, like let's say 5 or 6 years old, and they speaking clearly and they start telling you stuff or things or whatever, and you like, how the hell do they know that? I never taught them that. They have a pure and angelic nature, and this is what you have to understand as a parent, okay, and value those things, especially like I said, if they are pointing, if they like 2 or 3 years old and they point to something that's not there to the visible eye, your visible eye, and they're pointing, you better know that you do have an angelic child that's pure in nature and that they are picking up certain things of sixth sense or higher dimension more than what you can actually see or observe from yourself, from your actual natural eye. Okay, so yes, I don't know what it is, but you know, children are able to see certain things that we are not able to see or hear or things of that sort. And it happens a lot. I've seen, you know, observe over the internet where there's children from ages 2 to 6 is, you know, speaking to something that's not even present. Not that they're crazy or loony, that they really speak into something like as if they speaking to their mother or their father as though something is there. And they from the ages 2 to 6, I will say. And, you know, I will say, like I said, once again, those types of children have more of a spiritual insight and foresight that they don't understand. And it's more of an innocent quality that they have. And as a mother and a father, you want to be able to protect your child because obviously they are open to other entities and energies that you are not aware of or be able to see in your room. Okay, so you want to be able to protect them, not only emotionally, but mentally, physically, and on a soulful level. You want to be able to protect your children from that type of, you know, energy or aspect or whatever. And as a parent, you want to be able to research what paranormal is, or research certain things when a child can see something that, you know, that the parent can't see. Research it and don't just write it off or ignore it or just be fearful. Research it as your resourceful self as a mother, and educate yourself, even as a father, of what's going on with your child or children. You know, that may be unexplainable. And then lastingly, our children are either gifted, talented, or develop skills from the ages 6 and up, and sometimes it's a little bit early. Okay, because we call these pandemic babies, they already talking, they already moving, they already doing stuff. That's like, these pandemic babies are amazing. But I will say that the gifts, the talents, and the developed skills will not be so present or present at the age of 6. And that's just my opinion, because sometimes they could be a little younger and be advanced in their gifts and talents and things of that sort. But I'm just giving that number per se where it's more prevalent. You know that your child is gifted, or you know that your child is talented or have a developed skill. And I'm gonna differentiate the three. When your child is gifted, this is something that is undeniably, you know, it can't be argued. It can't be, you know, discussed away. your child, let's say your child has psychic abilities and they able to say certain things to you that, you know, like, how do my child know this? Your child is gifted 9 times out of 10. Or let's say, you know, your child could be somewhat like an idiot savant. They're good with numbers, or they're good with memorizing certain things, or with academics. And you like, how do my child know all of these things academically? You know, how are they able to memorize these things, you know, that, you know, a seventh grader should know, and they only 3 years old and they knowing all of these things and you teaching them. That means that your child is talented. Your child is talented 9 times out of 10. But gifted, like I said, is something that's unarguably, you can't deny it. You can't do away with it. It's just something that's innately in your child. They may not be aware of it. They may be scared of it. But at the end of the day, they got to be around the right people that's going to teach them about the gift that they have, whether they clairaudient, clairvoyant, or they have psychic abilities, they intuitive. If you see that early on in your children as signs, then they are gifted. Talented, like I said, it just means they could be like an idiot savant. And I don't mean it in a derogatory way. I mean it as in they very skilled in one particular aspect and they so young. You know, that's talent. That is talent. Or you have a six-year-old that know how to play ball really good or something of some sort. They really good at it. And then when it comes down to develop skills, let's say you teaching your children early on, you say, okay, I want my child to learn how to play the piano and I want them to be the best piano player, pianist player in the world. And you start buying them pianos from early on and they playing with it and they keep playing with it and they carry it everywhere they go. They carry the piano everywhere they go. And you put them in a piano class and they start playing the piano or instrument or whatever the case might be. And they start to get good at it and skillful. That's the developed skills that they will have and grow into and be able to master over time when they get older. So that's the differentiation of the three. Okay. And also you have to just understand that spirituality is important. Some people call it divinity, you know, based off of the divine nature of, you know, a person's capabilities and their gifts that they have. But it is something that is of God given when you are gifted and when you are talented, and whether you are developing a skill, that means your children are very disciplined. Okay, disciplined and dedicated. So that's the importance of having a child or children in the home, okay? And this is what makes us proud as parents. So I know this broadcast was a little bit long, but at the end of the day, it was worth it. And I'm pretty sure those who listened on tonight's show, I hope that you enjoyed it. You found it very inspirational, invigorating. And that you can take some wise jewels with you, even if you are a father, you know, if you're a mother, or even as children, you know, understanding who and what you are, whether you are a toddler in your adolescent years or whether you're a teenager, you still can learn some things about yourself and your position and learning who and what you are in this world, you know? So thank you for listening to The Memoirs of Her. Bye-bye.